No relationships to disclose. Okay, so if that term slum is making you uncomfortable, good. Because over 1 billion slum dwellers across the globe live in conditions which engender worse health outcomes, which translates to higher burden of disease. And so what we want to do is to quantify that difference in burden of disease. And so I want to emphasize right now that we aren't trying to prove health disparities. We know they're there. What we're trying to do is quantify health disparities. And why do we want to do that? Well, because just like high income inequality is bad for an economy, high health inequality is bad for society as a whole, right? And so we want to use DALYGAP to prove to policymakers and public health officials that they can get a bigger bang for their buck if they work and focus on improving slum conditions, or at least it's a good investment. Okay. So what is this DALYGAP that I've been talking about? So DALYGAP is quite simply the difference between DALYs per population for slum residents and DALYs per population from non-slum residents. And why do we choose DALYs? We chose DALYs, or disability-adjusted life years, because they are recognizable for policymakers and people outside of public health. They're a validated methodology, respectively, and they account for both mortality and morbidity. So you aren't just looking at prevalence or incidence in the slums. And they are easily applied in cost-benefit and cost-effectiveness analysis. Okay? So, as a pilot, we've used DALYGAP for tuberculosis cases reported in Rio de Janeiro in 2010. We got that data from the Brazilian National Notifiable Disease Information System, or SINEN, and then we coupled that with the 2010 Brazilian census data, which provided a map of all the census tracts in Rio de Janeiro, actually across Brazil. And for each census tract, they had population, average income, average number of persons per household, and various information on access to basic services. But beyond that, they classified each census tract as an aglomerado subnormal, which is the Brazilian definition of a slum, and non-slum census tracts. So this provided a map of slum and non-slum census tracts. So we took the surveillance data, and we used that to calculate TB DALYs, using the 2010 Global Burden of Disease methodology, and then we geocoded the residential addresses of each case, and then after geocoding the addresses of each case, we overlaid that with the census tract map to determine if a case was located inside or outside of a slum census tract. Seems pretty simple. And then we were able to disaggregate into slum and non-slum DALYs per 100,000 population. Okay. So something sort of caught your eye in that last slide there. But I told you I was going to geocode residential addresses, right? You must be thinking, well, you're going to geocode residential addresses of cases that live in slums, which by nature are informal, right? And I'll tell you, it was not easy, and it turned into its own project itself. And so if you'd like to hear more information, more description on our methods for that, I'll be presenting that on Wednesday at 8:30, Mapping Disease in Informal Settlements. But I'm going to just give you a brief overview of what we did. So basically what you found was that after geocoding these cases, the cases which were located in slums tended to border just outside the slums' official slum census tract limits. And that's for a variety of reasons. And one reason is that a lot of slum residents use a collective address, which is located at the bottom of the hill, or right outside the slum census tract, because a lot of the mail couriers have difficulty entering into the slum census tract. And so they just receive their mail at the bottom, and that's the address they provided for us. Okay. And so just to give you a brief overview, this is Copacabana Beach and Ipanema Beach in Rio de Janeiro. So if any of you have visited, I'm sure that's where you were, and you probably had a ton of fun. But right in between these two beaches, leaving my microphone, you have the Cantagalo Pavão Pavãozinho, favela, and favela is the Brazilian term for slum, which is sitting right inside the middle there. And so what you can see is that in the formal and the census tracts, or the non-slum census tracts, the roads are evenly spaced, right? Well, not technically evenly spaced, but they're organized and in quadrants. When you get close to when you get into the favela, you see that the cases, you see that the houses and the roads, you can't even see the roads, actually, and it's very clustered. So this next map is exactly what you were just looking at, but in the tan you have the non-slum census tracts, and then in green you have that slum census tract for Pavãozinho, Cantagalo Favela, right? And so in black you have the TB cases, geocoded TB cases, the residents of the geocoded TB cases. And so you can see the TB cases, which were geocoded to non-slum census tracts, are distributed in an organized fashion. But when you get close, I wish I had my laser pointer right about now. When you get close to the slum census tract, you can see they start to cluster right outside. So technically, if you were to calculate Dalies in that slum census tract right now, it would be zero. But we know by looking directly at those cases, which are clustered right outside the limits, that those are slum cases, slum resident cases. Okay, so what we did is we added a 50-meter buffer. And so you can see, just adding that 50-meter buffer, we have caught the vast majority of those cases which are bordering right outside the slum. And we experimented with various buffers, and we found that even a 100-meter buffer didn't add many more, and then started to catch those that were non-slum cases. And so the reason this works out for us is that even though census tracts are close to one another, so you have very, very high-income census tracts directly next to the slum census tracts, they don't share a common road. It's not very common they would share a common road. So if you look right here, the cases for the slums would be geocoded right on that road, which for the slums. But then the road where you would geocode for this very high-income condominium would be on the other side, and that's usually about, in most cases, more than 50 meters away from that other the slum road. Okay. And so, what do we find? Well, what you have, what this figure shows is Dalies per 100,000 population by gender and age group. And in orange, you have the Dalies for the non-slum census tracts. And in light purple, you have the Dalies for the slum census tracts. And Daly gap is quite simply that difference right there. And so then the Daly gap is listed in yellow on top of each bar. And so, interesting, Daly gap varied by gender and age. We had an overall Daly gap of 70 Dalies per 100,000 population. And for males, the highest Daly gap was in 40 to 50 males over 40 years of age or older. And in females, it was in 20 to 39 years of age. Interestingly, we found a negative Daly gap for males 20 to 39, which means that we had higher Dalies in non-slum census tracts than in slum census tracts. Does anyone know why that might be? Perfect. Perfect. Now we can keep moving much quicker. You've saved some question time right there. Okay, so yes, indeed, this was due to the incarcerated and homeless cases. And so when we did our analysis and we were assigning census tract, we had to exclude incarcerated and homeless cases because for the incarcerated cases, their address was listed as the prison address, and homeless, of course, was listed as homeless or not having an address. And so we were unable to calculate Dalies per population because we don't have an estimate on the population of the population estimates for for incarcerated and homeless case population in Rio de Janeiro. But if you look at it, 358 Dalies were attributed to incarcerated and homeless cases aged 29 to 39 year-old males, in comparison to 308 Dalies total for all the other age groups and gender for incarcerated and homeless cases. So yes, that's exactly what we found. And so it's likely that the majority of these cases are coming from the non-slum census tracts. Good. And so attributable Daly fraction for living in a slum was 25.4%. And so what that means that if we were able to improve slum conditions and raise them to not being non-slum census tracts, we could theoretically reduce TB burden in Rio de Janeiro by almost a quarter, just with that risk factor alone. Okay, so just looking at the geographic distribution of Dalies by census tract, this is that same area I was just showing you before, but it's a little bit zoomed out. And so you have Copacabana again and Ipanema here in the bottom. You have on the far left corner in the bottom is Rocinha, which is the largest favela slum in Rio de Janeiro. And up there you have Lagoa, it's beautiful, and even the Jockey Club, very high income area. Okay, so in purple you have the slum census tracts, and in orange you have the non-slum census tracts. And the darker the color, the higher density of Dalies per population in that census tract. So indeed you can see that the highest concentrations of Dalies is occurring in the slum census tracts, but beyond that, among all slum census tracts, slum census tracts with the highest TB burden had less than 60% electricity, sanitation, and water accessibility, and less than 70% solid waste disposal service. In other words, they were the worst of the worst, right? And even more so, the non-slum census tracts with the highest TB burden had an average income below minimum wage, as well as normally tended to border slum census tracts or uninhabited areas. Okay. So, in summary, Dally Gap allowed a quantitative assessment of disparity between slum and non-slum populations. This metric can now be used to evaluate interventions and slum upgrading programs, such as those that were instated in Rio de Janeiro in preparation for the World Cup and the upcoming Olympics. So now that we've done this for 2010, we can return in 2015 and 2020 again and see if we have a reduction in disease burden in these communities. It can be used to conduct cost-benefit analysis, which I touched on earlier. And interestingly, the same data showed no disparity in treatment or clinical follow-up times. Right, so we took this same data, these same cases per slum and non-slum, and compared their treatment and follow-up times. And actually, we even found better follow-up times and better access to treatment in the in the slum census tract in cases coming from slums. And that's attributable to a very rigorous TB control program instated by the Brazilian government. But that leads us to wonder, is treatment enough? Is a control program that focuses on treatment and contact tracing enough? Or do we really need to improve the conditions in these slums if we want to see a marked reduction in TB burden in the slums? Great. And so the limitations of the study, of course, it was harder to locate some residents in some census tracts. We tried our best. We incorporated the 50-meter buffer. But, of course, it's going to lead to differential misclassification of slum residents as non-slum residents. So it could be that the TB Dally Gap that we found was even a conservative estimate. And also, in order to apply Dally Gap, you need to divide census tracts into slum and non-slum. And so what that might miss is that gradient of disparity happening between the two, right? That's a limitation. Most governments of upper middle and lower middle income countries do not yet have census data and comprehensive disease surveillance systems like Brazil has. And disability weights and disease duration may not adequately incorporate slum dwellers' perceptions or their estimates. So we would expect that slum dwellers might have a longer duration of disease. Right. So next steps are to scale up Dally Gap to national data and other diseases, and we're working on that right now. Investigate the intersection of infectious disease and chronic disease burden, right? And particularly the group is going to look at TB and MRSA with diabetes. Apply other disease burden measurements, so you can apply QALY or HALE, or even create new measurements. And we're also looking at difference in drug-resistant bacteria between slum and non-slum populations. And we need to develop new disability weights that better incorporate low-income and slum residents, as they might not have been properly represented in the global burden of disease methodology. All right, so I just want to acknowledge my funders of Global Health Equity Scholars Program, which is funded by the Fogarty International Center and Office of AIDS Research as well at the National Institutes of Health. I'd like to thank the Brazilian Ministry of Health and the Rio de Janeiro Secretary of Health for giving us access to the data. And of course, our team at Universidade Federal Espírito Santo, as well as my mentors at the Universidade Federal Fluminense. Any questions? I'd like to add just a note, if anyone is interested in applying Dally Gap to your data or in your city or in your region, feel free to talk to me. I'll be here all week. Great. Thank you. Speak sufficiently fast, so we have plenty of time.
Can you describe again how you define slum?
So we define slum based on the Brazilian government's definition. And Robbie, you know what exactly is that again?
Yeah, so Mario and I worked together, and in 2010 they did the census in Brazil, and they really rigorously assessed which census tracts were slums and which census tracts were not slums. The way that they defined it for this census was a housing unit or like a housing community made up of at least 51 houses that had either substandard access to physical infrastructure, water, sanitation, or is built on the community that it was built without regularization from the municipal powers in the city where it is. If you're interested, I can send you for one of us potentially the present definition of it.
He's my PhD student, so I'm allowed to pick on him. Yeah, mine. No, just kidding. Anyone else? Sure.
I apologize if I missed this, but the graphics you showed on the data, what
Dallas before? Dallas per 100,000 population.
Okay.
Based on population per census tract. Anyone else? Okay. You guys know where to find me, so thank you very much.